God is good. God is good. If you don't know God has been faithful, you just ain't been paying attention. If that ain't your testimony, you just ain't been paying attention. If you can't say God has been there over and over and over again, you just ain't been paying attention. Song didn't tear me up at 8 o'clock. It got me on this one. To my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, my brothers and sisters in Christ, hey, y'all. It's good to see you, family. If you're streaming with us, we say welcome to Good Hope, a place you can believe, belong, and become all that God wants you to be. We want you to like us. We want you to share us with your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even people you don't like. And let them all know that there has never been a better time for hope. Let's go to God. Dear God, our Father. God, we thank you just for you being you. God, there are so many things that we can thank you for. We don't even know where to start. God, I ask right now that you would hide me behind the cross. God, I ask that you would let ears be opened, let hearts be touched, and let lives be changed. Your grace has saved me. I am who you made me. I will share what you gave me. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The summer is here, and it's vacation time. Trips are being planned, cars are being rented, flights are being booked. Sun and sand is on several travel itineraries. Now, the public beaches that provide family fun are definitely popular right now. But those private beaches and those exclusive locations, those are the ones that are most sought after. Now think about it, crystal clear water, beautiful scenery, warm weather, not blazing hot like we got in Houston. All of these are enjoyable benefits. But there are two amenities that most people are seeking when they're searching for these hidden paradises. And those two twins are called peace and quiet. Oh, peace and quiet is a blessing when you can find it. Whether you find it on a distant getaway, peace and quiet is a blessing. Whether you find it in your car on your lunch break, peace and quiet is a blessing. Whether you find it at home in your man cave, peace and quiet is a blessing. These are some highly sought after commodities. Now, since these two attributes are usually spoken in tandem like peanut butter and jelly, you may assume that they are always guaranteed to be found together. However, this is not always the case. It's definitely possible to have one without the other. When the storms of life are raging, peace and quiet may go their separate ways. When years of pain are internalized instead of resolved, things may be quiet, but there is no peace. When public conflict has turned into silent resentment, things may be quiet, but there is still no peace. When a child has been lost and the usual noise in their bedroom is replaced by silence, it may be quiet, but there is no peace. Quiet without peace is a tragedy. But on the other hand, when you can find peace, even when there is no quiet, that is a triumph. And it's a gift from God Almighty. So for a few moments, let's discuss the thought, how to have peace when quiet is gone. Now, the first point here that we'll pull out from the text is you must think the thoughts that bring you peace. If you're going to have peace without quiet, you must think the thoughts that bring you peace. And our focus verse here is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. It is the New Living Translation. If you have your outline, say amen. Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand. The ushers are looking for you right now. Now, verse 6 out of our text says, don't worry about anything. Underline that right now. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. Philippians is unique in that it is one of Paul's most uplifting books. It's not Paul's usual corrective tone. It's not his usual rebuke. Throughout much of the book, Paul is rejoicing in the Lord for all that is happening at Caesarea Philippi. And he's also encouraging the Philippians to do the exact same thing, rejoice in the Lord. And in verse 6, he says, don't worry about anything. Now, the fact that Paul writes this statement is not unusual. But the fact that Paul writes this statement while he's sitting in a prison cell definitely is. Paul is bound in chains, but he is saying, don't worry about anything. Paul is facing punishment and a possible death sentence, but he is saying, don't worry about anything. Now, the definition of the word worry. Worry means to allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. Worrying is a mental exercise. It is not a physical activity. Worry happens all in your head. And since worrying is all mental, it doesn't matter whether your physical environment around you is calm or crazy. Whether your real life around you is quiet or chaotic makes no difference because there is a hurricane that's taking place all in your mind. When you worry, you are typically focused on all the difficulty, all the trouble, all the worst case scenarios that you can imagine. Now, I'm not telling you that you should not totally ignore your problems. I'm not telling you that you should not plan solutions to your problems. What I am saying is that you should not dwell on your problems. Worrying does not help you at all. Worrying only harms you. There's an experiment that was done to see the connection between the mind and the body. And scientists took two sheep, separated them, and put them in different cages in different places. The next thing they did was they took a wolf and put the wolf in a cage and put that cage right next to one of the sheep. And they observed what would happen. The sheep that was in a place isolated by itself lived, thrived, and was perfectly healthy. But the sheep that had the wolf near it got sick and died. Now, don't miss this. The wolf was never allowed to touch the sheep. So the sheep didn't die from what the wolf actually did. The sheep died from his own thoughts of what the wolf could do. Don't be like the sheep. Don't let your worrying rob you of your peace. It's been said that 95% of what you worry about never actually happens anyway. So what good is worrying? Matthew 6 and 27 says this, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And the answer to that question is
no.
Amen. In saying don't worry, Paul tells us the way that we should not think. But in verse 8, Paul comes back around and tells us the way that we should think. In verse 8, scripture says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Underline this next part. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, notice what the scripture does not say. The scripture does not say, fix your thoughts on all the things that make you mad. It does not say, fix your thoughts on all the things that make you sad. It does not say, fix your thoughts on all the things in this world that are unfair. It tells you a different way to think. Scripture is saying, take your mind off all that is wrong with your situation and put your mind on all that is right with it. Paul does this in the opening of the book of Philippians. In chapter 1, he says that everything that's happened to him has helped spread the good news. His imprisonment has led to others having confidence in speaking God's message. Now, Paul is locked up, but Paul is celebrating how his imprisonment has furthered the agenda of the Lord. If this isn't keeping your mind on the right things, I don't know what is. Psalms chapter 111, verse 2 says, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. The reality of the situation is God is always performing great works in your life. But if your mind is in the wrong place, you might completely miss that fact. Personally, I don't watch the news. Now, some of you in the room might say, well, JP, you're going to not be well informed on what's happening in the world. I know. And to be honest with you, if something happens that hits too close to home, somebody going to tell me anyway. Now, the reason I don't watch the news is because it's always bad news. I don't need that in my spirit consistently. I operate on a need-to-know basis. Some stuff I don't need to know. I don't need to know all the new innovative ways that people have come up with to sin. The world is jacked up. I know that. I got that message a long time ago. This ain't heaven. I am well aware of that fact. I don't need a constant reminder that the world is jacked up. I need a constant reminder that righteousness is still at work. I need a constant reminder that God is still in control. That is the reminder that I will seek out. And that is the reminder that you have to find intentionally. You have the ability to control what gets into your mind and what stays on your mind. You must intentionally fill your mind with what is true, honorable, right, and worthy of praise. Listen. The negative stuff is going to sneak in by default. The positive stuff you have to put in intentionally. You must think the thoughts that bring you peace. Now, the second thing you must do if you are to have peace without quiet is you must communicate with the giver of peace. You must communicate with the giver of peace. In verse 6, right after Paul says, do not worry about anything, he next says, pray about everything. And everything literally means everything. Now let me tell you what we do as humans. We pray about the stuff that we know we cannot handle. But we don't bother to talk to God about the stuff we think we can. We think that some stuff is too small to be God's area, but it's just right to be ours. So we handle out those things ourselves. But tell me something. What area of your life do you think God is not concerned about? Scripture, Luke chapter 12, verse 7, the A part. It says, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Psalms 56 and 8 says, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. God cares about even the minute, intimate details of your life. So that means that everything concerning you concerns him. Talk to him about it. Take it to him If you don't, that issue that you kept out of his hands will turn into drama in yours. Now also, the things that we don't take to God are the things that we're not quite ready to give up. The bad habits. The faux pas, if you will. The character defects. The pet sins that we're trying to hold on to. You got to think about what happens when that pet grows up. When that pet becomes bigger than you thought it would be, it gets a little weight on it, and it starts to consume a whole lot more than you plan to feed it. If you never gave that pet obedience training, eventually, it will get big and take over. Now, let me tell you what I'm talking about. When you used to drink just for fun, and now you drink just to function, that pet has taken over. When your bad attitude used to just stress your relationships, but now it has severed your relationships, yeah, that thing has taken over. And fixing these issues is way above your pay grade. All of your sin needs to be taken to God. David recognized this in himself, and he wrote about it in Psalms 19, verses 12 and 13. David wrote, "How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me." So David is asking on both sides, the stuff that I know I'm doing wrong and the stuff I don't know I'm doing wrong, God, please don't let them run or ruin my life. Paul says, take everything to God. And in part B of verse 6, Paul says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Now, to thank God for what he has done, you first have to recall what he has done. You have to reflect on what he has done. You have to remember what he has done. And as you recall and reflect on what he has done over and over again, you will notice a pattern. God comes through over and over again. Oh, the last time you needed him, he came through. The next time you need him, he will come through. Now, you may be in a different situation, but you're talking about the exact same God. And scripture says he does not change. If he did it before, he will do it again. Now, the old saints used to say it like this. He may not come when you want him, but he's always. Amen. Now, there's something you need to understand about prayer. Prayer does not change God's outlook on your problems. You're not suddenly filling God in on everything that's wrong in your life or making sure he's familiar with the severity of your problem when you pray to him about it. That's not what's taking place. Prayer does not change God's position, nor does prayer change God's perspective of your problem. Prayer changes yours. Prayer helps you look at it a different way than you did before. There's a quote that I read. It says, when the storm comes, the child of God will pray. At times, God calms the storm. Other times, God lets the storm rage and calms the child. You must communicate with the giver of peace. Now, the third thing you must do, if you are to have peace without quiet, is you must do the things that result in peace. You must do the things that result in peace. Now, some of this is a no-brainer. It's not even deep wisdom. It's simple wisdom. Violence begets violence. If you put it out, you'll get it back. There's no peace. If you're living a life of crime, you reap what you sow. You put it out, you'll get it back. There shall be no peace. But there are some other things that we don't quite think about that may hinder our peace if we don't do the right things. Fellas in the room, hello. If you are in your kitchen about to have dinner that your wife has slaved over a hot stove to make for you, and you say something to her like, baby, I wish you would make this food more like my mama did. Is there going to be peace in your house? Not at all. There may be quiet, especially in the kitchen around dinner time for the next few weeks, but there will not be peace in your house. Now, for anybody in the room that has an unusual respect for the speed limit, let me tell you some things that won't bring peace. If you get on the freeway doing 45 miles per hour and you want to drive in the left lane, there will be no peace. People are going to be blowing their horns at you. You're going to get some interesting sign language in your rearview mirror. Somebody might actually speed up, pull right in front of you, and hit their brakes so you can feel like what they did when they were sitting behind you. Yeah, there will be no peace. Now, Paul says, to have peace, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Now, to say that Paul did a lot in his lifetime is an understatement. Paul was like super Christian. Like if there was a gospel Marvel movie being put out, Paul would be a superhero with a three-part trilogy straight off the bat. He was the man. Paul set up churches on two different continents. Paul preached the gospel in pagan lands. Paul discipled other heroes of the faith like Timothy and Titus. And Paul wrote over half of the New Testament. Now, some of the things that Paul did definitely brought unity and good feelings. Paul wrote about speaking the truth in love. Paul wrote about restoring someone who has fallen down in a gentle way while considering yourself. But other stuff that Paul did stirred up a whole lot of trouble. Yeah. Paul was beaten. Paul was stoned. Paul was run out of town several times. And at the point of him writing this letter to the Philippians, he is sitting in a prison cell. So it is safe to say that a lot of Paul's actions definitely did not lead to quiet times. But if we break it down and we ask the question of exactly what was Paul doing, Paul was living his life like Jesus did. Paul moved in whatever direction God led him, just like Jesus did. Paul spoke truth even when it wasn't popular, just like Jesus did. Paul boldly faced the challenges that came with living your life all out for God, just like Jesus did. So we are recognizing the fact that Paul lived his life like Jesus did. The question on the table is, will you do the same? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, the English Standard Version, it says this about Jesus. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The cross was horrible, y'all. The Romans were a little crazy, and there were no rules of cruel and unusual punishment back then. The cross was an agonizing way to die, and it was a slow death. It typically took you about 4 days to pass away. Now, before you got to the cross, they made you carry your cross through the streets in public while everybody is watching, poking fun, spitting on you, trying to knock you down. This was humiliating. This was embarrassing. This was a defeating activity for your spirit. Now, Jesus, in spite of all of that, was still obedient to God. In this day and time, the reality is doing God's will may not cost you your life, but it may cost you your comfort. Yeah. Will you be obedient enough to sacrifice it? Will you take a stand for what's right, even if that stand is unpopular? Will you make the effort to share God's love, even if that effort is rejected? Will you boldly declare your faith in God, even if it puts a target on your back? Bold moves for God may not bring quiet to your life, but the peace of God will be with you just the same. Now, there is a distinction that you need to recognize. Living your life to have comfort is not the same thing as living your life to have peace. Two totally different things. Now, two different times in my life, I've had the opportunity to talk to some successful men while they were facing their own death. One of these men was in his 70s. He was a country boy, and he was what I like to call Bible rich. He had land, he had cattle, sheep. Everybody in town knew he was wealthy. Now, the other was different. He was in his 40s, was actually a childhood friend of mine, and he was a city boy. He was well respected by his colleagues for the advancements he had made in his field, and he had a lot of letters behind his name. These men were as different as night and day, but they were both asking the exact same question at the exact same point of life. When each of them were close to death, each of them was struggling and wondering, had they done enough for God? Each of these men was accomplished. Each of these men was living comfortably, but neither of these men had peace. My brothers and sisters, you get to decide what will sit on the throne of your life, whether it's your finances, whether it's your family, your hobbies, or your vices. But whatever is sitting on the throne, if it is not God Himself, you will have no peace. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says this: Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Nothing else in life should get that kind of love except God. Give your relationship with God the priority it deserves. You must do the things that result in peace. Now, there is something I'm going to let you in on that me and God share. God has enacted something in my life called the no freakout rule. And I'm going to tell you what it states. It's on your outline as well. Regardless of the appearance of my current circumstances, I am not allowed to freak out. Now, I'm not telling you that nothing ever happens in my life that may cause me to freak out. I'm just telling you I'm not allowed to do so. If I ever venture into the area of freaking out, I only get a one-day grace period. Then I have to come out of that place. And I'm not allowed to make decisions while I am in the land of freaking out. Now, the reason why I'm not allowed to freak out is because God has shown me that every single problem, every single pain, every single situation and circumstance that I have ever had, He has brought me through it. And hold on. He didn't just kind of handle it. He, Ephesians 3:20, that thing. Like exceedingly and abundantly above what I could ask or think. So this is the concept. If this is how He operates, what am I tripping on? So when something pops up in my life that I don't prefer to have happen, the question is, freak out for what? He did it before, He'll do it again. Now let me tell you some of my stuff. I have gone through some stuff that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, but God brought me through it. I have had the results of my own stupidity smack me in the face, but God brought me through it. I've had to work 4 jobs at one time just to make ends meet, and they still wasn't touching each other. but God brought me through it. I have had my relationship with my one and only biological child threatened more than once, but God brought us through it. God brought us through it. And if he took care of me, I know he can do the same for you. Maybe you and God need to enact the no freak out rule in your life too. In this life, the reality is you cannot predict all the storms that you will face. You don't know how many you'll get or how bad they will be, but rest assured, they are coming. You are going to have noisy, chaotic, and crazy times. You've had them before, and you will have them again. And I'm not speaking about a possibility, I'm speaking about a promise. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus speaks and says this: I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There is a transaction that's taking place that Paul is describing in this particular passage of Philippians chapter 4. In most transactions, there is an even exchange of value. In retail, when you go into the store to exchange an item, you only get to take home something of equal or lesser value. But with God, you get to bring him something of lesser value and exchange it for something that's worth far more than you paid. God says, bring me your worries, which are worth nothing, and exchange it for my peace, which is worth everything. And this ain't just regular peace, y'all. No, this is a special blend. Philippians 4 and 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That means that you can have peace even when it don't make no sense. That means that when the logical people are losing their minds, you can have peace. When all the realistic people are freaking out, you can have peace. And this is a gift from Almighty God. So remember, think the thoughts that bring you peace. Communicate with the God of peace and do the things that result in peace, even in the midst of your storms. Let us pray. Dear God, our Father, Master, we thank you for all that you are. God, thank you for what our eyes have seen and what our ears have heard and what our hearts have received. Father, we go through so much in this life. And many times it seems like everything that's in our face and around us is so much bigger than you. Please continue to correct our perspective. Let us know how big you are and how small those problems are compared to you. Father, we love you. Master, we thank you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's thank God for his word. Thank him for his word. Ain't gonna lie to y'all, that thing encouraged me way before I told y'all about it. Everybody in the room, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Now, to have peace from God, you first have to have peace with God. And something has to happen for that to take place. All of us in the room, we were born enemies of God. And the reason why is because we were born sinful. And a holy God cannot have relationship with sinful man. But Jesus came to pay a price that we never could afford to pay. Jesus came to give a gift that we would never have had access to.
Yes.
And if you're in this room right now and you have never accepted Jesus into your heart, into your life, to have this gift yourself, we're giving you this opportunity to accept that gift come on down to the altar, and these people who have just moved into position will help you get that thing right. Now also, if you are somebody in this room and you know that you have not been living in a way that brings you peace, we want to help you get that thing right. If you are living in a place that is completely opposite of what God wants you to do, and you're trying to be something totally wrong in light of what God wants you to be, we invite you to come on down as well. We're not going to look at you funny. We're just going to rejoice when you get here, because we understand God is breaking the shackles of your life. Now, if you're on the other side, you're not running from him. You're not in opposition to him. You just haven't gone his way as much as you know he wants you to. We're giving you the opportunity to make a step towards him as well. If you make one step toward God, he'll make two or three towards you. It's not all on you. It's definitely on him. So take the chance to come on down. Change some things. Patch that relationship up with the Lord right now so that he can take you to a different place. So as the song of invitation is sung, don't delay, don't tarry, don't dialogue with the devil. Go ahead and make that move to have God's peace.
I'll give you peace when the storm is raging. I'll be your light when the road ahead seems dim. I have the power, just put your trust. Anything you need, have faith indeed. Just ask, just ask in my name. Oh, oh, just ask, just ask.
We're going to extend that invitation again. We're going to wait on you. Now, I don't know. That's my brother. I told him to come down here. That's my brother. Give God the glory. Just the same. But yeah, that's my brother. Now, you may be asking right now, how come they take so long to do this every week? The reason why is because this is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. More important than what your career is going to be. More important than who you will marry. This decision affects all of your eternity. So we don't mind prolonging the point. We don't mind repeating the invitation to give you the opportunity to make a move towards God that you need to make and that he wants you to make. So as the song is sung again, we're going to give you the time and the invitation to come on down and patch some things up with God. Take your time, but don't take forever. Come on down.
I am the Lord, I can move all mountains. I'll be your strength when you're weary, weak, and torn. Believe in my promise, I will take care of you. Anything you need, have faith indeed.
right now. If you'd like to join our church, if you'd like to become a part of this body of believers, this is the time for you to come down as well. Wanted to make sure the other two invitations were heard and received with enough time for people to make a move. If you'd like to join a small group, you feel like it's the time for you to do a little bit better with the Lord, hey, come on in here, girl. I met her Thursday night at Vacation Bible School. So if you'd like to partner with this church, you'd like to join a small group and work on your becoming more like Christ, this is your time to come on down as well. Make your move in the right direction. Come on down. Meet the Lord halfway. He'll run at you if you walk to him. God is good. He loves you and he wants to take care of you. I'm about to pray. There's somebody else. Come on in here. All right, I was waiting on you. Let's pray over these that have come. Dear God, our Father, we thank you for what you're doing in these lives. God, we ask that you would help them to move from where they are to the place that you want them to be. God, we have all come to this spot at one point in time, and we understand that you've got more for us in store than we could ever think for ourselves. So, God, I thank you for the move that they have made. I am excited in advance for the progress you will give them, for the life change you will accomplish, and for the ministry that you will put in their mouths. God, please continue to love, keep, bless, and protect. We love you, God. We thank you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to do one more thing, one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. I am highly aware that there are several people sitting in this room whose thoughts won't let them have peace. You're depressed about some stuff you can't get over from your past. You're anxious about all the things you're concerned about in your future. I'm going to let you be incognito with it, and I want to pray with you right now. Just bow your heads. To God our Father, Master, once again, we thank you for everything that you are doing, and I am asking you to touch minds right now. Father, for those that are troubled, for those that have self-imposed storms all within their head, I'm asking that you would free them from those strongholds. God, the things that have happened before are over. You have brought them out, brought them through, but they will still be subjected to those issues if they keep themselves in that place of pain. God, I ask that you would give them the ability. You would give them the power. You would give them the freedom that can only come from you to be free of all of that pain, hurt, and heartache. Help them to stop blaming others for the problem and let them have the freedom that you want to provide. Continue to love, continue to keep, continue to let us know that there is nothing coming in our future that you haven't already handled in our past. We love you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.